IVM.
Hello and welcome to the Habit Coach Podcast. I am Ashton Doctor, your habit coach. And today is Dhanteras. It's a celebration of wealth, money, the goddess Lakshmi. So who better to have this discussion with than our very own Devdutt Patnaik? We had a very interesting conversation on the Habit Coach Podcast with him. And I thought that if you've missed it, this would be a fantastic way of learning more about Lakshmi and the way that, you know, we started thinking about money as a whole. If you've heard it, this is a fantastic revision for you, because when our relationship with money is so critical, especially in the way that we live today, where we don't think about spending money, we don't think of it as an exchange, we think of it as an accumulation. So here, let's listen to Devdutt Patnaik.
Devdutt, you know, when we talk about finances, right, there are so many interesting things that we can learn about it. And are finances different from the way they used to be? Like you're talking about the Vedic times and to the current times, right? What is the difference between these now?
You know, in mythology, you talk about the goddess Lakshmi. So when you talk about goddess Lakshmi, you're really talking about money. But money has many forms. You're really talking, you know, at one time when we were, let's say, hunter-gatherers, you didn't have money as we know it today. What would you do? You would sort of collect fruits and herbs and berries from the ground. You would go hunting and catch animals. And that would be food for you. And that would be currency. So if you had less food, I will give you some food. If you have a kind of food that I want, you have got a lot of berries and I've got a lot of, some vegetable, then I can exchange that. So that would be perhaps money in those days. And then the Vedic times, you know, animal herding became important, cattle became important, and therefore milk and cows. And therefore you have all these rishis asking for, hame gai chahiye, we want godan chahiye. So cow becomes the source of, it becomes money. Then gradually agricultural revolution takes place and land then becomes Lakshmi and money. So, you know, that's the way money goes. And then some people have, you know, they barter their skills for goods. So you have bartering system of services and goods, you know, the year of goods and service tax. And we don't realize that's money, really. You know, money then eventually appears as a symbol. So I have got like a little cowrie shell or a kind of a metal disc, which tells me that this ka value is so much. This idea really emerges 2,500 years ago in India, of all places. We don't realize that one of the places where money was invented was India. And it was invented by merchants in the Gangetic Plain, and they used the word kasha pana from it, from which the word cash comes. So today we use the word cash, and this word comes from an Indian word, kasha pana. And so money has a very long history in India. But today money is, of course, slightly different. Now it's very symbolic. You know, as a mythologist, I study, you know, things that don't exist, that people believe in. People keep saying, "Devdutt, mythology kya hai?" And I say that mythology is something you believe in. And money is something you believe in. You believe that the 100-rupee note will give you 100 rupees worth of goods. You believe it. It's just a piece of paper with some printed material on it. And you believe that ye 100 rupee ka note hai. And today, of course, money has even become digital numbers. Like suddenly in Paytm or in one of those digital apps, you have a number which tells you you have 50,000 rupees in the bank. And suddenly it goes away and you're like, oh my God, I don't have any money. So Lakshmi has taken these many forms. And all that is really Lakshmi. All that is money. And from a mythological angle, as you know, Lakshmi is a very important goddess. And I am surprised that we people don't pay so much attention to Lakshmi. You know, for me personally, my life changed because someone taught me about money and finance and how to manage money very early in my life. And I didn't realize that money is so different today. It's very different from, you know, you just think it's money is I buy stuff, I sell stuff. But it's much more than that nowadays. And, you know, we're not educated and equipped about it. Luckily, I'm very grateful to those finance managers and wealth managers who sort of helped me understand money and improve my habits, which sort of... both, you know, my knowledge of mythology was good, but I suddenly realized, hey, these knowledge which we're talking about today, people have been talking about it in the past. And it's an important habit that we have to develop.
Devdutt, you've put in 12 principles in your book, right? Would you like to share a few of those principles with us, some that you find very pertinent?
So two, three points are very important. Is, you know, one of the points where I, for me, it's important is how do we accounting as a habit? I think accounting, you know, when I see, so I consider Ganesha as a patron of accounting. And people say, why Ganesha? You know, because Ganesha in his hand holds two things. One is what is called an ankush or an elephant goad. Now, an elephant goad, you know, you can poke the elephant with it and it'll move forward. And it also has a hook to pull its ear so it'll stop the elephant. So it is, and, you know, all our habits are a function of being motivated to go forward and being held back from doing something or not, you know, doing something in an excessive way. So this prodding and pulling, which we have, is something that happens with accounting. When you do accounting, you start realizing where are you spending too much, too little. Hey, you're not spending on holidays. What kind of life is a life where you don't spend on yourself, or you're not doing enough charity and helping people, investing in other people? Then you're balancing your thing. So I think accounting is a, you know, doing an Excel sheet and figuring out, you know, now there's so many softwares and apps which help you do that, that which tell you what are you doing with your life and your money and how you are investing, you know, your things that you're earning. Or is all your earning going in expenses? Are they going in paying bills? So that's one point that I feel is a very important idea. I call it, how do we manage money, Ganesha, on accounting and planning? So thinking of the future and thinking of the present. The other,
how often should you do that? The accounting principle, is it an everyday thing, a weekly thing, a monthly thing? How often should you?
It depends. You know, minimum a weekly. I think a weekly habit is good. I used to do it weekly. And it took a long time because it's a very painful process. And, you know, I would like every Saturday morning, you know, force myself to look at my balance bank book and say, okay, I have so much money. Initially, I had only one source of income because I used to work in a company. And that's the only source of income. Then gradually, you know, when I started doing mythology work, I had art, money coming from articles, money coming from books, money coming from other places. So I had to, you know, and there were small amounts of money. They're small, but together they made up enough to take care of my expenses. But I had to remind myself, oh, have I asked, put the bill? Have I raised the invoice? Have I paid my taxes? You know, that part is, it's a lot of labor. And then reminding myself, oh, these bills have to be paid. Milk ka paisa dena hai, building ka kharcha hai. Oh, I have to keep some money aside because the birthday coming up. I have to keep some money. Raksha Bandhan is coming up. All those ideas, you know, when I did it initially, you know, that weekly habit is something that helped me a lot. So Saturday was the day where I would, because Saturday is, you know, Shani ka din hota hai. And they say the Shani delays things. So it'll remind me, oh my God, I want to delay this. I don't want to do this. But, you know, it sort of would force me and, you know, to look at. And it really helped me because over time, I was so happy. It also gave me joy. It gave me warning signs that, hey, your money is really going low. You need to get new business. You know, now, of course, you know, I have moved into a different phase in life. But in those days, you're struggling. You're giving up work. You know, when you start on your own, you get very anxious whether clients will come. You know, 1 month you have 6 clients, next month you have 4 clients, and your palpitations rise and you say, oh my God, your insecurity comes back. So I think that that one introspective 1 hour a week, for me it was Saturday, is, I think, gave me a lot of perspective. It gave me a lot of perspective. So that was one idea. Another idea which, you know, I remember is, you know, it's a concept called, how do we attract money? And again, it comes down to Vishnu, which was Vishnu on repeat orders and referrals. So, you know, I always tell people, which is the most important temple in the country? And they will give me different names of temples or dargahs or churches. You know, this temple is most popular. And I'm like, no, no, no. Tell me in principle. And then after a lot of discussion, people say that, you know, wherever your wishes are fulfilled. So, you know, jahan mannat puri hoti hai. So let's say there's a dargah where mannat is puri or some temple or some church. And people go there and their wishes are fulfilled. I said, what do you do then? I said, you go again. Because, you know, your wishes, you have another wish and you have another wish. So you go again and again. And then you tell other people about it. So basically, there is repeat order and there's a referral. So I said, Bhagwan ko bhi pata hai, repeat order, referral ka matlab kya hai. So if you satisfy your customer, you will get. And I realized in business, you know, whether I'm giving goods or service in the market, if my customer is happy with me, he will come back to me again. And he will tell others about me. And so my key performance indicator for life to generate wealth is make the customer happy and check, does he give you repeat orders and does he refer you to people? If these three criteria are satisfied, the chances of your business growing is very high. So customer delight, referrals, and repeat orders is something that I focused a lot early on in life. So whenever I'd give a lecture, I would sort of go out of my way to make sure the audience is very happy. And then I would check, have they called me again in a year's time, or have they referred my name to others? And that sort of created a network. And I realized, hey, that's a simple technique to remember. You know, that's what doctors do, right? A good doctor, you go back to the doctor again. Then you tell friends about the good doctor. It applies to services. You know, you go to a restaurant and you're happy with the food, you go back to the hotel. You tell your friends about it. So I think that is what this a point that I remembered. And finally, the one point is, you know, there's a Hanuman story. It's called How Do You Guard Your Wealth?
So, wow.
You know, there is a story in the Ramayana where Hanuman one day becomes very complacent, and even Ram disappears suddenly, and he realizes that Ram has been abducted by Mahiravan, who is Ravan of the Patal Lok. And he's very unhappy. And then Ram says, you know what, even Hanuman can overlook details. It's okay. Don't take tension, but always. And I thought that was about insurance, that, you know, no matter what in life, you have to insure yourself, because you can make a mistake. Things can go wrong. And one way to insure yourself is to make a will. And in India, you know, when I talk to people, have you made a will? People don't talk about will and insurance. They feel it's bad luck. But I say, you know, if you die suddenly, and it can happen, right? What happens to your family? What happens to your children? And I know so many friends of mine who are in trouble because their fathers have not made a will or have not created an insurance policy. And they're in a really bad shape, you know, the legal mess around it. And I said, you know, birthdays are a time, you know, my habit is around birthday time, when my birthday is approaching, just check my will. And I think that's something that we don't do. So, you know, these are some of the ideas that I talk about in my book.
We're going to take a quick break. See you on the other side. Welcome back. Let's jump into the conversation. And our second guest on this hybrid podcast about money is Ken Honda. I don't know if you've heard that episode with him. It was absolutely brilliant because Ken Honda talks about what it is to have a relationship with money. What does money look like to you? Is your money happy? Is your money sad? Do you feel sad? Do you feel happy when you look at your money? And very often our relationship with money is skewed because of the way that our parents discuss money or our friends discuss money. So here, listen to Ken Honda talk about how we should all be thinking about money.
I think this is such an important topic. Do you mind sharing a couple of points that are off the top of your head on what parents should say to their children and teach them about money? Maybe one important point.
Yeah. So you have to teach them about budgeting. So there's like a certain limit to money, but there's no limit for greed. So you can teach them about the greed and budgeting, because the older people, when they grow up and end up going bankrupt, is that they don't have the control over their greed. So kids already know what greed is. You know, when you get more iPhone, new iPhones, new bikes, you want new sneakers, you want new something, iPods or whatever that is. So there is no end to wanting more. So unless you know when is enough, you'll be miserable. So those things should be taught from early age. So the more control your kids have about money, more successful they get when they grow older. So the control issue with greed is very important. And the other aspect is money is energy to make you happy. If you know that, you love making more money, you love spending money for yourself and others. But if you teach kids that money is scary by scolding them for wasting money, you feel, your kids feel like money is a scary thing. You know, it drives everybody crazy. Look at my mom, you know, she's going nuts. Like I spent some extra money on food, candies, and she's so scary. So, you know, if you teach them by showing their emotions, getting angry, upset about money, you're teaching them that money is a scary subject. So if you could teach your money with your example, and also if you could, maybe the third option is if you can teach your kids that what you do can attract money instead of what you hate attract money, because you can make money by doing what you love. At the same time, you can make money by the work you don't like. unfortunately, 95% of us are doing what we don't like. So if you can teach kids that you can make money, at the same time, you can follow your heart, I think that is a beautiful teaching.
The book Happy Money, right? The name itself talks about so much. Can you share a few points from the book on, you know, what are the principles that you would want people to learn, or what are the habits that you would want people to learn with understanding money in that sense?
Now, I want to share with you, I have a picture here, the teaching of Wahei Takeda. Look at his smile.
Lovely.
And he was
what a beautiful
passed
smile.
Away, yes, a few years ago. And he was called Warren Buffett of Japan. He was once one of the most wealthy individuals in Japan, investor. And he said, the key to happiness and money is arigato your money. That means when money comes in, say arigato, or thank you to money. And when you spend money, when money leaves your life, also arigato your money, thank the money. So by appreciating money coming in, going out, you can start the cycle of appreciation. So when you worry about money, appreciate money, thank money. So by thanking money, you cannot focus on the worries, because Wahei said, human mind can focus one thing at a time. If you focus on appreciating money in your hands, you cannot worry about the future. So it's a sort of like a mind trick. By replacing a lot of arigatos and thank yous in life for worries and fears, you focus on what's great in your life. And then you realize there is more abundance in your life than you imagine. So that is a great turning point in my life.
Arigato your money. Say thank you to the money that's coming in. But more importantly, say thank you for the money that's leaving as well. Because it is, we don't normally say thank you for the money that's leaving. In fact, like you said, children see the parents complaining about the bills that they have to pay, complaining about all of that. How do you get into that habit of saying thank you when you're giving away money? Is it something that you force yourself, or something that you feel?
No. Just think about it. You're paying for the bill, say electricity. You know, if you don't have electricity, it's so hot in the summer and so cold in winter. So the electricity is heating up your home. You can take a shower, and you can watch TV, YouTube, you know, charge your iPhone. You can appreciate electricity. And you're paying the bills to get all the goodies in your modern life. Oh, if you didn't have, you know, you experience a blackouts for 1 week, you know how electricity is precious. The same with water, same with a roof on your shoulder, you know, above your head, the food. If you have some bread on your table, it didn't grow out of your table, and it came from somebody, the store. And the store people didn't grow them. You know, the farmers grew them. Somebody baked them. Somebody delivered it. And so there are like many hands were just many labors of love were put into just a piece of bread. And you're exchanging your money with the bread. That means a lot, just a symbol of a lot of labors. So there are so many reasons to appreciate money going out, because you're appreciating those people who helped the bread put on your table. So that is a thank you money. So, wow, thank you so much. You know, you cannot personally thank them, but your money can, because my money will go to the supermarket person, the register person, the truck driver, and the baker, and the farmer, you know, and everybody. And you know, the water that comes from a dam. So somebody took care of a good care of a dam. That's why the field had water. So every one of us is connected with money. So once you can feel we're all connected, there's so many millions of ways to appreciate. Instead of just complaining about, why do I have to pay this much money? You know, wow, you know, because can you just get electricity, you know, with only like, say, $100 or something, right? It's impossible. So, wow, just I live more luxurious than a king 200 years ago. That's a feeling.
Wow. So those were Devdutt Patnaik and Ken Honda talking about money. You know, money habits and financial habits are one of the
key pillars of our lives. So today on Dhanteras, I wish you a happy Dhanteras, and I wish that you get rid of all the money and financial troubles that you have by getting your financial habits in place. Remember, awesome lives, they start with just these awesome habits. Usually in a podcast, it's me who speaks to you and you who listens. But I've been seeing your comments and it's time. It's me listening to you. Following the overwhelming success of this podcast, the good folks at IVM Podcast Network have decided to come up with a Kannada adaptation of the show for those who prefer listening to it in that language. Do make sure you let your Kannada speaking friends know about this as well. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are at IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, I am Ashtin Doc on Twitter and Instagram. You can find lots more information on my website, awesome180.com, or check out different content on my YouTube channel called AWESOME180. That's Awesome 180.